Joshua Spellman, born on 25th June 1980 in Jos, Plateau State. He studied chemical engineering at the Amaria Kaduna State, Nigeria. He began his work as a minister of God as an undergraduate, where he was heavenly used by God in the prophetic, in healing the sick and performing miracles. He is the founder of Eternity Network International, commonly called Koinonia of God. His popular, powerful, life-changing messages include Financial Dominion.
Honor. Let's bless the man of God, the angel over this house, and his lovely wife. Amen. I equally want to thank all the pastors and the leaders in this assembly and then here gathered. I trust that God will do us good tonight in Jesus' name. Someone shout Zoe. Lift your hands in 1 minute and let's give Jesus praise. The entrance of his word gives light and it gives understanding unto the simple. Let's thank him for this opportunity. Thank God for his servant, for access to light through this platform. Let's ask in the name of Jesus that our hearts are open, open to hear, open to understand, open to receive. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Lord, we bless you, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you for this opportunity you have made available to us. We thank you for this powerful topic. We thank you for that which it will wrought in our spirits and how it will reposition us to live victorious lives. We submit to your wisdom tonight and we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that your word will come like fire in the name of Jesus Christ. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. When I got to know the topic for this conference, one, my spirit was gladdened. I really was excited because then it confirmed to me that God was doing something phenomenal, not just across the body of Christ, but even in this church. And we had a brief talk with Reverend Sam at his office before coming here. And I said, I'm excited because God is restoring the body of Christ to the foundational pillars that really make for an effective Christian life. And we did observe in our discussion that whilst, you know, balance was attempted to, you know, we're attempting to bring balance to, you know, excessisms in and around the subject of grace, probably a lot of people tilted to the other side of the pendulum, and then it brought another kind of problem where believers became weak and powerless. And I thank God for topics like this because it's restoring that order to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. I want to honor every man, woman of God who's had their turn, their sessions. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. Are you ready for tonight? Fasten your seatbelts. Let's see how far God will take us tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm teaching along the topic, Zoe. We'll look at a two-part series. I'll start tonight, and then we'll wrap up tomorrow. I'll teach for a while, and then hopefully before my time is up, we'll spare some time to pray. And so be sensitive, and the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So part one of Zoe, I'll be teaching on the theology of life. The theology of life. Praise the name of the Lord. The theology of life. Now, when you study systematic theology, it comes from the word theos. Theos means God, generally. And then it talks about the study of God, broadly speaking. And there are many classifications and many units or departments when you study theology. There is what we call soteriology. Theology itself, from the word theos, the study of the triune nature of God. Are we together? Then we have what we call soteriology, the study of salvation, histology. We have pneumatology. We have ecclesiology, the study of the church. Are we together? Then we have eschatology, the study of the end times and prophecies. Now, I'm not just playing around with theological terms. It's to help you understand that your knowledge must be wholesome for you to be victorious. Are we together now? You are not given the liberty to select an aspect based on how pleasant it is. You will have to embrace all of these dimensions to get the complete picture. And so, classically speaking, the whole subject of the way can come under three of these departments: soteriology, Christology, and pneumatology. These three together have expressed within them this topic we're considering. But then, we're looking at the theology of life, and the goal is to help us understand the entire discourse of this subject of the life of God. And I'm not just coming here as a lecturer. This is just a background. Are we together? The intent is for us to have a thorough understanding about this life that we have been given. Your stability in the kingdom is predicated upon the depth of your knowledge. The depth of your knowledge. The deeper your knowledge, the more stable you are. I think believers, our confusion most times in spiritual things comes from the fact that we're not in complete ignorance, but our knowledge is not deep enough to the point of persuasion. So depending on who we hear, we can tilt to either sides of the pendulum. But knowledge and conferences like this bring us to a point of persuasion and stability. If that is happening to you already, say amen. Right, so the Gospels, when you begin to make any discussion, not in prophecy, about the life of Jesus and his earth work, the theological starting point is the Gospels, and there are four of them: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the writings of the Gospel, as well as all other epistles, were based on what we call eyewitness accounts. Are we together? That means the people wrote as they were inspired, but they wrote as they saw. So Matthew had his version, Mark, Luke, largely with a historic standpoint. It begins with the whole history, genealogy. Are we together? And then when you read Mark, it just starts immediately with the activities, the works of Jesus. Right from chapter 1, you see that he's already an adult doing miracles. It doesn't give us the details of what happened necessarily. Are we together? When we go to Luke takes the time on earth, not certain begat certain, in the beginning. Are we together? Was the Word. And it says the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2 says the same was with God in the beginning. Verse 3 says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Are we together? Then verse 4 makes an interesting statement. In him was life. Take note now. In him was life. In that him, the Word, who was there at the beginning. He's giving us an information that is contained within that personality he's trying to introduce. That in him was life. The word there is the word Zoe. In him was life. And that the life was the light of men. Are we together now? So John is giving us a very concise discussion. He went straight to the divinity of Christ. And for you to really understand it, you have to read 2 verse 13. We may not have the luxury there, but let's attempt. Let's go ahead. We're already on verse 4. So verse 5 now. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Can we have KJV? I think I would prefer KJV, except otherwise. There was a man. He now digresses to talk about the forerunner of this word, John, the prophet, who you call the Baptist. There was from God, whose name was John. 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. We're reading to 13. It says he was not that light, but he came to bear witness of that light. Are we still following? It says that was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10. He was in the world. He, the Word. He, the possessor of life. He, the light of the world. Are we together now? It says, and the world was made by him, and yet the world knew him not. Now, verse 11. He came to his own. He was not just in the world. He attempted to come to his own by natural descent, and his own received him not. Then the Bible says, but as many, not everyone will care to receive him, but as many as received him, he said, to them he gave power to become. Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Stop. Which were born. He's telling us how they became. He's saying that everyone who received him became, but that the technology of that becoming is that they were born. Are we following now? So they didn't just become because they heard. He's saying a rebirth, even though they were adults, it didn't matter what state. They became by being born. But unlike their former birth or their previous or their first birth, they were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But they were born. Right here, John the Apostle begins to show us that from a spiritual standpoint, there are two kinds of birth, and that everyone who must be in Christ must experience both. Are we together now? That the condition to experience the second is that you must at least have the first. This is the reason why salvation is not for angels. Are we together now? Are we still together? So, the Bible shows us here that you can be born of blood. You can be born of the will of man. He contrasts it against this other dimension that he calls being born of God. So very quickly for you to understand that there are two kinds of birth. Number one, we call it physical or natural or biological birth. Are we together? And the other is called a rebirth or a spiritual birth. What the Bible calls being born again. Are we learning now? Nicodemus in John chapter 3 comes to Jesus, and from verse 1, he begins to engage Jesus in a very interesting discussion, the discussion that will later evolve to John 3:16. That entire text was a discussion between Nicodemus the Pharisee, the doctor of the law, and Jesus. So the Bible calls him a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2, it says that he came to Jesus by night. And he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He says, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. Please be patient and follow. Verse 3, Jesus now says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be... Here you go. Jesus is using that term again. Remember, John used it. Now Jesus is saying, except a man be born again. He was talking to an intelligent man, a doctor of the law, one who is learned already. He had the Torah, he had the Pentateuch, he understood the prophecies. And he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? So Nicodemus is saying, every man already has the natural birth. That's why he was here in the first place. And now you are introducing another kind of birth. There's no possibility, scientifically or otherwise, of shrinking back to become a seed and then to start again. So Jesus explained for me what you are saying. Are we together now? He said, can he enter into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5. Reading to 7. Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 6. He said, "That which is born of flesh." There you go. So there is that which is born of flesh. He's saying the result is flesh. But that which is born of Spirit is Spirit. In fact, we can stop there. Marvel not that I say unto you, verse 7, ye must be born again. Now, I want to contrast these two kinds of birth. And please, you need to understand this. It is the foundation for your excelling. If you get this wrong, your entire faith journey will be wrong. Because everything you will believe eventually in your faith adventure will be dependent on the correctness or otherwise of this foundation. Are we together now? So the Bible tells us that there are two kinds of birth. Are we still together? The natural or biological birth and the spiritual birth. Let me tell you a few differences. Number one, that in natural or biological birth, your will was not part of that equation. Are we together now? You were not given the liberty to choose whether or not you wanted to come. Are we together now? So in natural birth, the will of the person who is born does not contribute to his or her arrival. Are we learning now? It takes your parents agreeing together or at least participating, even if they do not agree. There is a participation of a man and a woman, preferably parents and sometimes otherwise, that guarantees the arrival of any individual. Are we together? So the will of the person who arrives is not there. You are not given a chance to decide. Number two, in natural or biological birth, one person cannot bring it about. It will have to take the union of a man and a woman, either by agreement or by participation. Do you understand what I just said? Praise the name of the Lord. Yes. So when the angel came to Mary, and Mary said, "How shall these things be? You are talking about my getting pregnant, but I do not yet know a man." The law is that it has to be the union between a man and a woman to have natural birth. You get the difference now? Number three, natural birth requires time, 9 months, medically speaking. So from conception to delivery, under normal medical circumstances, it will take 9 months. Are we together? Now let's contrast it with this spiritual birth. The natural birth requires the cooperation and the permission of the parents without the active participation of the will of the baby or the person who comes. And yet, in spiritual birth, the decision of your parents or otherwise does not have to play a role. It is your will. You get it now? It's a very interesting expression. That means if I decide to be born again, it is an act of my will, not necessarily by my parents or by any other person. Number two, you don't need a man and a woman to be born spiritually. You just need the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith is the condition for believing, and that in believing in his name, you will have life everlasting. Who is following me so far? And then, spiritual birth happens instantly. The manifestation of the life you have received is according to the knowledge that is established in you. But that reality of translation happens immediately. It does not wait for 9 months. There's no conception period. There's no gestation period. Who is understanding this now? That the Bible says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved immediately." Not later, not at the end of the year. If a woman gets pregnant January, we are expecting the baby September. But if a believer confesses Christ right now, at that point and that instant, eternal life becomes his inheritance. Are we following now? So there is a difference between the natural birth. Let me add one for you. The natural birth has a validity period. It is called your lifetime. So from the time an individual is born, at least as much as we know, we have not perfected living forever. By the course of time, his natural strength becomes abated. We call it old age. Are we together? And in our world today, it's even something worth celebrating. You are 90 years. Regardless whether the man is on a wheelchair, whether he's wrinkled, whether he's old, you salute him for living that long. But eventually, the person passes on to glory. But this life we have received, there is a reason why it is called eternal. Who is learning now? You have to know the difference so that you will appreciate what you have now received. Please be seated. So the Bible tells us that anyone at all who will receive of this life must be born. In fact, being born is the only way to have life. You cannot, the official gateway to accessing any kind of life, like you'll be learning, is being born. For you to be alive, you must be born. Are we learning now? I'm being as elementary as possible, hoping that we'll be able to understand this before I begin to discuss a few other things. So spiritual birth or rebirth has to do with your spirit man. But natural birth has to do with your arrival here by natural descent. This is very important. And I said the difference is that the will or the desire of the individual does not play any role in natural birth. Whereas spiritually speaking, your will, he said, if you will, how does he put it now? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord as an individual, as an act of your will, that is the person who will be saved. Now, I said that life is only generated or transmuted when birth occurs. Birth is the official conveyor of life. If you ever find any person or any animal or any insect for that matter with life, and I'll be defining what life is shortly. Are we together? That anywhere you see life, it tells you birth just occurred. Without the concept of birth, there cannot be life. Are we learning now? Remember, don't lose me. Please, please, let's be together. Born again, life. We're playing with these two words. Born again, and life. That every man is born. But then if you must experience this the way, the life that he's brought, he says you have to be born again. And that when you are born again, you receive the power to become. You obtain that life that the Bible calls the way. If we are together, shout a loud amen. Now let me define life. What is life? Not the way. Life generally as a concept. Life is defined here as the quality that differentiates plants and animals from dead things. In its simplest definition, life is the quality that differentiates plants and animals from dead things. That means that when an entity is alive, there are certain qualities it must exhibit. Are we together? We call it, generically speaking, life. The summation of all the qualities that differentiate animals and plants from dead things. Now, listen, any entity is alive to the degree that it manifests. Listen before you write. Any entity at all is alive to the degree that it manifests the quality of responsiveness, growth, metabolism, energy transformation, and reproduction. Any entity that cannot manifest these qualities is called dead. When an individual dies, the reason why you confirm that he or she is dead is because all the qualities that make for life become absent immediately. No respiration, no growth. Are we together? Metabolism is not a possibility. He cannot respond to nerve impulses again. And the doctors would declare that person dead. He's not good enough as far as any other thing is concerned. Except it doesn't matter if it was a professor that died, whether an engineer that died, whether a pastor that died. Once it is a dead body, it serves no purpose in this life again except to be buried in honor. Are we together? So when we talk about life, to be alive means to manifest, not just to possess, to manifest the qualities of, number one, you can write now, responsiveness. Anybody who is alive must respond. If I call you and I say, John, if you answer me, I cannot say you are dead. Not physically, not biologically. You are manifesting qualities of responsiveness. You laugh, you cry. Are we together now? And then qualities of growth. Anything that is alive should normally grow. Qualities of metabolism. I don't want to bore you with biochemistry, but you know what metabolism is. Are we together? The entire chemical process that turns food into energy and also growth in any organism is called metabolism. Now, all life comes from God. All. There are different qualities of life. But just for your information, that if you ever find anybody or anything alive, that quality came from God. John chapter 1 and verse 3. Please read with me. Believers, are we learning already? Who is following? All things were made by Him. How many things? Please help me. Shout it again. All things. So the Bible says all things were made by Him, the Word. And without Him was not anything made. Anything at all. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. I'm establishing the fact that all life comes from God. Notice I didn't say all life forms. All life comes from God. For by Him were all things created, whether in heaven and that are in the earth. Help me please. Visible and invisible. Whether there be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Do you understand me so far? So all life comes from God. Now, let's begin to delve into some other things. According to Scripture, there are essentially three kinds or three forms of life. Please write it down. According to Scripture, the teachings of Scripture, we identify three kinds of life. And they are all captured in three Greek words that I want to bring very quickly. Number one is called bios. B-I-O-S. This is the first kind and the first level of life. This is physical life. Are we learning now? So we talk about bios. Physical life. Number two is called psuche. I'm sure that within this conference it's possible that you've played around with these words. Psuche. Solical life. You find an example of bios in Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. The Bible says, that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard the word, they go forth and they are choked. And it says, the cares and the pleasures of this life. The word life there is bios. This physical life. This sojourn upon the earth. Are we together? And then they bring forth no fruit unto perfection. So it essentially talks about the physical life. The kind of life that is present in men and even in animals. Number two is decay. It's a solical life. It has to do with being alive psychologically. And being conscious of your environment. So this deals with your psychological health. Please look up. Let me give you an example. A madman has bios. He is not dead, but he does not have psuche. Because the sense of coordination is not present within him. Are we together? He is not able to freely interact from a psychological standpoint with his environment. So he has bios. He's not dead. But from the standpoint of psuche, that psychological, he is dead psychologically. Are we learning now? And then the third, as we know, do I continue? Did I give you scripture for psuche? Matthew 16:25. Matthew 16:25. You must follow me closely. For whosoever shall save his life. The word life, yes, not bios, it's not zoe, it's the word suke. He shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, he shall find it. Now, let's go to the third, which is our concern for this conference. The third is called zoe. Zoe talks of God's divine life. God's very life. Now, with all due respect, fathers of faith like Kenneth E. Hagin wrote great books, you know, Zoe, the life of God or the God kind of life. And as true and wonderful as that is, you'll be learning that the life God gave us is not His kind of life. It's His very life. Are we together? It is plants that have the God kind of life. That is why as plants, they also exhibit God-like properties. Are we together now? The life God gave man is not the kind. It is His very life. Else the Spirit of God would not be able to live in man. He that is joined to Christ is not similar spirit, one spirit. Please sit down. Please sit down. Because the way is divine life. It is God's very life. In fact, classically speaking, is called supernatural, uncreative, and indestructible life. These qualities are very important in defining the way. It is supernatural, it is uncreated, no beginning, meaning there is no end. Are we together now? And then it is indestructible. The way. This is the kind of life God gave us. John 1:4, and then John chapter 10 and verse 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, hallelujah, hallelujah, I am come that ye may have. I came to men already having bios. I came to men already having suke. They were doctors of the law, intellectually sound and alive. But he said, I came to give you zoe, a quality of life. Are we together? Now, you define zoe more so as all of the components in God that upgrade an individual to rise to the God class. This is the definition of Zoe. That means every component in God that sustains the ability to lift an ordinary person, and he keeps rising like a plane until he matches the level that is equal to the God class. That means the end of the administration of that life is that you must look like God in experience. Otherwise, the software will not stop working. Are we together now? So, that life you see is like a software. And that the software has an assignment to not stop working until you become elevated. It's not an addition to your life. It superimposes the ordinary life and keeps insisting that you rise until they look at you and look at God. And there is no difference in terms of stature. This is where the revelation Son of God comes from. Meaning one who has been upgraded by light such that we cannot see the difference between him and God. So when Jesus said he was the Son of God, they said it's heresy. You are saying you've been elevated to a point that we can either look at God or look at you. Please be seated. Do you know the implication of this kind of knowledge? This is what strengthens you to walk in divine health. This is what strengthens you to be indomitable in your world. Are we together now? This revelation is the spiritual immigration system that allows possibilities to flow to your life or away from your life. There are many people who do not understand this. Now you lay hands on the sick and want them to be healed. Like you will be learning. What is the basis? What do you think flows from you to them? How do you ever believe you lay your hands on someone with cancer and it dematerializes? It's not just the issue of anointing. There is a consciousness if you do not have. It doesn't matter the impartation, it will not work. Who is learning? How do you think you can speak to someone and say, in the name of Jesus, let doors be open? What is the basis? Who else speaks like that except the one who said, and God said? And God said, now you are mimicking what he said but not getting his result. Because the understanding that supported that speaking, you don't have it. Are we together? Shamila Supranda Gabaratus Yata. Now, the word eternal life, the way the Bible was written, theologically speaking, the Old Testament was largely Hebrew. Are we together? And then the New Testament was a combination of Greek, Aramaic, and then in several instances, Latin also. And in transcribing the Bible to English, those who transcribed it, the principle of transcribing these words is that you will usually look for the expression among the many options. They have similes. So you will look for the expression that best captures the context. Are we together now? That's where you get the word eternal or everlasting. But the word everlasting, classically speaking, does not do justice to the description of that word. Because everlasting means without end, and that is true. But the life God gave us is beyond everlasting. Are we together? Because if you really understand the administration of God's life, even those who die without Christ really have everlasting life. It's only that they will not spend it with Him, but they will still be alive. The story of Lazarus and the rich man taught us that even when you shed this body, you are, your consciousness, you are still alive in another dimension and another realm. Are we together? So the life God gave us is beyond just everlasting. It's a life that upgrades us again. Please do not forget that word upgrade. It's a word you have to understand and appreciate. Look at me. How many of you computer tech savvy people know that there are certain applications that have their versions? Are we together? And oftentimes, you will be mandated by the producers of that application to upgrade the versions. And they will tell you, hold on, before you upgrade, be aware that certain functions will no longer be the way it was. Are we together? For instance, they will tell you there are certain functions, once you upgrade, you won't find it again. It will be replaced by something superior and better. If you understand that technological expression, then it begins to give you an idea of what happened to your spirit man. A software came by the Spirit of God. Now, whether it is activated or not, there are times that you will like certain Windows version better than others. You already know there is an upgrade, but you fear that you will lose certain things that you are used to. So you will leave, it keeps informing you, and you say, after 15 days, after, come on now. Yes, sir. After 15 days, remind me after 3 days. You know it should be upgraded, but you fear, if I upgrade it, I do not have the know-how to operate the higher operating system. And it will mean waving this one goodbye. And there are times that people will tell you from this date, that software will no longer work, whether you are ready or not. Provided you are using our applications, we've given you enough time to stretch your sympathy for that version. And this new version has to be imposed. So once you on your laptop, it just tells you something is going on. And you have to wait patiently until that upgrade is happening by force. It's a way. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the King. There is none other. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You are the King. There is none other. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Please be seated. Please be seated. You won't believe that we're still just laying foundations. If this is all we do, we'll just stop and pray. But it's important. So the word eternal does not just denote duration of time. Zoe talks about an absolutely perfect and complete life without shortage or defect. The final version, no upgrade. It's the final version. Are we together now? That's why I told you it's not the God kind of life. The life plants have came from God. The life insects have came from God. All things were made by Him. But those dimensions of life can be upgraded. That's why man is higher than plants, higher than insects, because we possess a quality of life greater than them, even without salvation. Are we together now? So, but when we receive eternal life, there is no addition to life again. It's the final update. That's why I told you it's God's very life, not the kind. So when we become born again, we become possessors of this life that the Bible calls Zoe, the divine life. Now, what does it mean to be born again? Please write. Part one, we are looking at the theology of life. What does it mean to be born again? John chapter 1, 13, 14. Number one, it means to be born of God. Everybody say, I am born of God. Let the devil hear you. You are not confident. Say, I am born of God. This is the first implication. John chapter 1, 14, 13 and 14. To be born again means to be born of God. That means from the time you are born again, the Father, God, takes responsibility. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you. As the provider of the seed that was responsible for your rebirth. Look at this. Usually, when a woman gives birth in the hospital, they say, where is the father? Or where is the man? If there's no father, they say, who is responsible for this? And someone else will come, maybe the pastor, or there has to be someone usually. Well, I didn't participate, but I've come as it. My own is purely responsibility. Are we together? So, when you get born again, God says, I have come into this life officially. Are we together now? I am the provider of the seed that has caused this species of being. And that anytime you need the attention of the father of this child, refer to me. This is what it means to be born again. Listen, 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 listen. The man who had an epileptic spirit, who took responsibility for his healing? The father. The father came to Jesus and said, please, can you do something about my child? The Bible does not tell us the boy was deaf and dumb. We just know that the guy was epileptic. I thought that he would contribute in that advocacy. Please help me too. And he kept quiet. Maybe he was deaf and dumb. The Bible does not record that. Except that Jesus casted a deaf and dumb spirit out of him. But the father took responsibility. Have you heard about another one called the centurion who began to advocate for his child? So when we say you are born of God, that means every time there is a life or Satan or situations demands, who backs you? Who is the father paying your school fees? Who is responsible? Whose name should we write after your own? And God says, he is born of God. Born of God. Born of God. I have the honor and the privilege of helping a lot of people, and we provide scholarships for a lot of children. And some of those children, because of their background, they've never known their father. If you ask them, who is your father? They will tell you with confidence. Sometimes I even get afraid. I say, don't get used to that name. Because my own is responsibility that brought me there. Little girl, who is your father? The name of my father is Apostle Joshua Selman. And then when they are watching me, they shout, Daddy. And I have to take responsibility. Because with respect to their care, they were born of. Are we together now? So when we say you are born again, number one, we mean you are born of God. There is a translation, a switch of fatherhood. Are we together now? The reason why the prodigal son prospered initially was not necessarily a product of his creativity or intelligence. It was the house he came from. His possibility was a product of the house he came from. His pain was the house he left. His restoration was the house he came back to. Are we together? So everything around the life of the prodigal son was with respect to his father. Someone say, I am born of God. Oh, my physical father may be dead, but I'm born of God. I am not an orphan. I walk in that consciousness. There is someone defending my interest. I'm not as weak as you think I am. You wait till you see my father. The jealousy of the one who backs me in life and in ministry. Shout, I am born of God. Say it again, I am born of God. You may say, I don't have a space in life. You are right. Until you find out who brought the idea of the space. Hallelujah. I was told about a man who was a billionaire. He came into a company and they never knew he was the owner because someone was fronting for him. And he wanted his child to have a job. and the people were making life miserable for the boy, asking him useless questions in spite of the fact that he was qualified. And eventually the boy got angry and said, I may not be qualified by your terms, but I'm coming. And the next time they saw him coming with a man very frail, and they now shouted at the man too. He said, did they give you any orientation in this company that the one you call MD is just MD, not owner? And then they kept shouting, and in one moment he took a pen from the MD to every other person. He tagged them and said, just to let you know, I own this facility. So when you see God quiet on your case, it's not weakness. There are moments where the devil stretches his pride through men, and then your father decides to arise and say, I need to make a statement that although Jacob is as a worm, weak and frail, there is a God that stands behind him. Listen, let me tell you, the weakness in many believers is because they do not understand that being born again, they know being born again is having the life of God, but they are not aware of who the Father is. It's my Father. The creator of the universe is my Father. You can call him CEO, you are right, but allow me call him Father. His seed birthed me. Are we together now? You can look down on me based on tribal or regional sentiments, but let me remind you that I came from above. My rebirth translocated me, came from above. Listen, I'm not just teaching you theology. I tell you sincerely, this is my mentality. I don't enter a land, I enter a land respecting the systems, but I know I'm not at the mercy of the system. No, no. When you bring that one now, I now begin to speak like the Hebrew boys. I am not careful to speak on this matter. Are we together? The earth is the Lord's. Good news. The resources in it. Good news. Don't laugh at me too long. You will spend your life saying, I'm sorry. God is my Father. The word Father is the word Abba, is the word Pater, source, sustainer, defender, provider. Someone say that after me. Source, sustainer, defender. One more time. Say source, sustainer, defender, provider. One last time. Say source, sustainer, defender, provider. He said, when I sent you to that banking sector, sent you to that ministry, you are born of God. The Creator defends you. His jealousy defends you. Whether or not you are aware, no wonder the psalmist said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Born of God. The invisible God has invested his fatherhood upon my life. It is adoption, but I'm still a son. Born. For as long as the prodigal son was in that house, conscious of his father, there was no lack. Are we together now? Depletion began the day he chose to take responsibility over his life. But one thing the boy never lost, he lost money, he lost friends, but he did not lose the consciousness that he was born of his father. And he said, I've lost everything. What do I have to restore me? I will arise and go to my father, my source, my provider, my defender. Say, I'm born of God. From an earthly standpoint, there are people, as much as we would not want to admit it, there are people whose children, if you trouble, only God can save you. Do you agree with me? It's an uncomfortable truth, but it's true. Because the people, it doesn't matter whether the children are right or wrong. You will explain to God later on, and maybe God will vindicate you. But as far as the earth is concerned, there are consequences you will pay for.
And some of those children, the consciousness of their parents and their status has made them stubborn. You are angry, but you can't do anything about it. If I touch this man now, I have an interest in that parastatal. And you do your permutation and you say, let me just allow the boy's foolishness. I can't ruin my opportunity because of a careless tongue. So the next time Satan comes to you, the next time he comes to say you came from a family where no one has risen, tell him, were you aware that there are two kinds of birth? Tell me which one you are talking about. If you talk about the first birth, the Yoruba birth, the Igbo birth, the Plateau birth, the US birth, the Latino birth, you are right. I agree. But, goodness, if you talk about the rebirth, no, you are wrong, sir. No, you are wrong, sir. I come from above. I come from above. I come from above. It's only that the lives superimposed, they coexist. Don't be mistaken. I still look like the yesterday one, but I come from above. Someone say, I'm born of God. Please be seated. He who was the Son has eternal life. He who has the Son has eternal life. I have the Son, so I have eternal life. Listen, let me tell you sincerely, not to sound arrogant, this is my mentality. I truly believe that I'm not at the mercy of situations and circumstances. I do. Not because of my sufficiency, that would be arrogant. Take away God and His fatherhood from my life and you are hearing an empty man talking with pride. But He told me, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting love. Not just everlasting life. Everlasting love. Love that does not change. What does it mean to be born again? Who is learning? John chapter 3, 3 to 16. To be born again means to be born of the Spirit. Ah, dear, I wish we had time. Lend me your attention. John 3, 3 to 6. What does it mean to be born again? To be born of the Spirit. Do you know what that means? To be born of the Spirit. That means you have received by reason of your oneness with the Spirit, capacity to exhibit characteristics of spirit. That you are not just a normal human being. The ability of spirit can now find expression through you. Wisdom beyond your age. Wisdom beyond your time. Capacity. The unlimited nature of spirit can now be at work in your life. To be born again means to be born of the Spirit. Beyond the biological realm. So if I tell you today that God has shown you things to come, it is a possibility. Maybe not to the man unregenerate, but because you are born of the Spirit, you can manifest superhuman qualities. Ordinary men doing things that men cannot do because you are born of the Spirit. Are we together now? The implication of being born by the Spirit or of the Spirit is that you are alive to spiritual things. Hitherto, you cannot comprehend spiritual things. But because you are born of the Spirit, as vast as the realm of the Spirit is, and as complicated as the operation of the Spirit is, you sustain the intelligence to understand. To be born of the Spirit means you can manifest superhuman qualities like kindness, like goodness, like gentleness. Ordinary men cannot manifest that. Like joy in the midst of storms. The reason why you can do that is because you are born of the Spirit. Now say, born of the Spirit. And so, it is because you are born of the Spirit that you can believe that you can rise above sin, you can rise above limitations of the flesh, you can, are we together? There is no possibility of rising above it if you do not know you are not born of the Spirit. Have you heard the statement, I am human? That statement is an indictment as much as it is true. You must be conscious of the fact that I am born of the Spirit. So whereas you should collapse after 10 years in ministry, you realize that because you are born of the Spirit. A classic example of spirit behavior is how the sun behaves. The sun is older than every one of us, yet it never gets tired. Suspended without getting tired. It shines at all times without wavering. That is the character of a spiritual man. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You cannot tell where it's going or where it's coming. So is one who is not just led, but even born of the Spirit. Somebody say, I'm born of the Spirit. When you see supernatural abilities finding expression through frail men, it is because they are born of the Spirit. There is something in biology called genetic mutation. Please look at me. Are we together? Where for whatever reason, abilities are tampered with for good or for bad. So you find individuals manifesting extra-human abilities or abilities that are short of that of a human being. That anything that is not within the circumference of normal human behavior. Scientists have taught us that we can suspect that either there's mutation somewhere or an interruption of a spirit entity. Even traditionally, there are children who, when they are born and they exhibit superhuman qualities, traditionally, some of them are grouped in a particular class and we say these ones may be dedicated to idols. Remember, they give word of knowledge occasionally. They tell you there will be war and you will laugh at them till you find out there really will be war. They will tell you rain will only start by August. When people are sick, they come to them and they say, behind your house there are three trees. Use the third leaf. Pound it and put it on the wound. We know instinctively that every time a man's behavior is beyond the range of normal behavior, it is either degeneration as a result of biological deformities or an interruption of a spirit entity. That's what it means to be born of the Spirit. You can't be normal again. There is an implication. I don't want to use the word mutation, but there is a genetic upgrade. That's the word regeneration. Your gene has been tampered with. When the king saw Daniel, he said, the spirit of the gods. I don't know which of the gods. I know there are many, but I know, Daniel, you are not normal. Daniel said, you are right. There is an excellent spirit within me. This is not the activity of mere men. Do you know what that means? To be born of the Spirit means if you carry that consciousness, I tell you sincerely, you will exhibit levels of intelligence. There's no such thing as, there are intellectual ways of priming your brain to think well, but not when the life of God finds expression upon you. Supernatural manifestations by the Spirit. How dare you tell someone, hold my hands, and you tell the person that pain is gone and gone forever. By what agency? The Spirit. Born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. Joshua Selman, you are born of the Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Do you know what that means? Amas. The word Spirit is the Greek word pneuma. It is translated... it's the Greek translation for the word ruach. It means wind. It's an attempt to describe how much you cannot contain and box it. You can't hold wind, you can't trap it, but you cannot deny its effect. That's how unlimited you become when you are born of the Spirit. Someone say, I'm born again. Say, I am born of the Spirit. Are we learning tonight? When you say you are born again, is beyond a confession and a recitation in front of the church or a congregation. Let me give you one last one. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. So you are born of God. Number 2, you are born of the Spirit. Number 3, to be born again means you are born of the Word. You see the triune nature of God finding expression in your definition of being born again. Born of God, the Father. Born of the Spirit. And now Apostle Peter teaches us that we are born again. Read with me. One, two, read. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth. To be born again means you are born of the Word. The operation of the Word is at work in your spirit. The operation of the Spirit is at work in your spirit. Are we together now?
Yes.
Being born of the Word, the incorruptible Word. Believers, are you learning? This is very powerful. So when we say you are born again, remember that you are born of the Word. The Father has claimed ownership and responsibility. He's invested that name, Abba, Pata, over your life and over your destiny. By reason of your acknowledging the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus. Are we together now? That every time you need help, you refer to Him. He has become the one who stands behind you as a mighty, terrible one. And then you are born of the Spirit. Meaning the leadership of the Holy Spirit, if allowed to gain supremacy over your life, will turn you into an invincible individual. And then the Bible tells us that you are born of the Word. Shout it with understanding now. Say, I am born again. Now, very quickly, have I lost you? According to Scripture, how is an individual born again? At what point do you say, I am born again? I don't want to brush that and take that for granted. You will be surprised that many believers cannot define the condition biblically for being born again. Is it after a recitation in front of the church? Is it when you cry? Are we together? At what point is an individual said to be born again? Write this down, please. Being saved or born again, as we know, comes only after hearing and believing the gospel of salvation. Please. Hearing and believing the gospel of salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. From verse 1 to 4. Do you love the word of God? Look up. Let me teach you something. Look up, please. Look up. Let me digress for a minute. Do you know why the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is powerful? We have mastered receiving, not understanding. Are we together now? Now, I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm speaking apostolically. The average believer does not have the endurance to learn sound doctrine that builds stature. The disadvantage of this path is that, number one, it will make believers helplessly dependent on men of God and later blame the men of God. Are we together? Because when you find a powerful believer, the only way to help him is to midwife his carelessness until he learns knowledge. And if that person does not want to learn, he will almost want to make you an idol in his life. Because compassion will not let you leave him alone. You know he will perish without your participation. Are we together now? The average believer does not have an appetite for enduring sound doctrine. Thank God for gifts. Thank God for the prophetic. Thank God for the miraculous. Thank God for impartation. The reason why they have almost lost their value is because we have exalted them above the understanding of doctrine. So the average believer goes back home and is plagued with all kinds of things and he does not know what to do. You see, many pastors right now are tired because in a day you are responding to 500, 1,000, you know, calls, and sometimes if there are weighty spiritual matters, you can address it. But very petty things that a basic doctrinal understanding will set you free from. Are we learning? And then you find a few group of people who are passionate about God and pushing in the things of God. And then the body of Christ largely is made of need-driven Christians. And because of that handing over the responsibility of your growth entirely to a man of God, sometimes the mistake is that it gets into us. And as it gets into us, we now begin to act in a way that later the people now persecute the men of God themselves. I say, why are you behaving like? Are you seeing how is this? Do you know what will happen to you if you carry the revelation of being born of God? Honestly, I'm telling you this. By the mercies of God, I was telling Reverend Sam in the office, I said, we're getting back to the days of Tulsa. You know, the word of faith, where you would see Papa Hagin, they would drag somebody who is weak. He will just sit down 30 days, 60 days. They are receiving the word. The person will get up, and that's why he will get up from the standpoint of that spiritual understanding. He will say, Satan, my pastor may not be within reach, but the God who called my pastor is with me, and I am able to exercise dominion and authority upon the strength of the things that have been taught. Are we together now? Make up your mind as a commitment with your destiny that this year you will not only shout amen. Like God said, you will know what to say too. Are we together now? That your own will not just be to sit down in church and every prophecy that comes you say amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying make up your mind to be sound. Ladies and gentlemen, we are stepping into an age in the church where you will have to defend your understanding of God personally. Personally. Jesus, I know. I thought he would say, Jesus, I know. The apostles, I know. He mentioned the names one by one. There will be a destiny roll call, and everybody will have to answer it by yourself on your own. This is the reason why God is for arming you. God already has seen the end of the year 2025, and he's bringing this revelation to for arm you. It's a prophetic conference. He's reminding you of the things that made the patriarchs powerful. We claim we have more revelation than those people, but we're not doing half the things they did. Something is wrong with our understanding. Are we together? Born of God. Born of the Spirit. Born of the Word. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians. We have to rush. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you've ever wondered what the gospel is, this, in my opinion, is the most concise presentation of the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 2. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Verse 3 now. For I delivered unto you, first of all that which I also received. How that? Christ died for our sins according to the gospel. Verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to scriptures. In fact, let's stretch it to 8. I want to show you something there. 7 or 8. And he was seen. So it was not a scam. Men saw him. He was seen of Cephas, Peter now, and then of the 12. Verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. Verse 6. He said, after that, he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. Final verse, verse 8. And at last, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. He was saying, Jesus died, he was buried, he resurrected, and we all saw him. The gospel. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have life everlasting. Romans chapter 10 from verse 8 and 9. I'm showing you how to be born again. The Bible says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. Mouth, heart. To be saved, to be born again. The word of faith which we preach, verse 9, it says that if you shall confess, not with your mind, not with your thinking, not with your assumption, if you will verbalize your confession on the Lordship of Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. This is what it means to believe. This is what it means to receive. This is what it means to be born again. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, the Bible says. And it says with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's the Greek word soteria. It's a broad expression. It's not just salvation from sin. Salvation in all its variety. Soteria. He's telling you that this is not just a rule to be saved. It's also how you will live and function in the kingdom. Are we learning, believers? Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages is salary. salary. When you work at the end of the month, they calculate your worth and give it to you. And the Bible says, sin, the nature, the act of sin is like being employed. And that there's salary, meaning that you won't see it the first day, but that the wages of sin, there's no time to explain this, but that's just what it means. The wages of sin is what? So death for many people is salary. And the word death here is a very complex word. It doesn't just mean to cease to live. It means that one of these levels of life is affected. So when he says death, it means one of your normal functions become tampered with until it degenerates you to total cessation of living. So death does not just mean you have to die alone. That something will begin to go wrong that will degenerate you until you fail to become God's expectation. Are we together now? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, help me, is Zoe, eternal life, indomitable life, and that it happens through Jesus Christ. In fact, the word through Jesus Christ is not an accurate expression. It is by Jesus Christ. It is the word "en," and it means "with," it means "for," it means "through." Are we together now? Through Jesus Christ means you use him as a medium. For instance, we don't pray through Jesus Christ. When you pray through Jesus Christ, that's idolatry. You pray in the name of Jesus Christ to the Father. Through Jesus... Reverend Sam, I'm sorry. I walk with time. Walk with time. Walk with time. Someone say, I'm learning. Listen, you may not know what is happening to you in the spirit. There is, you see, let me tell you this. I have seen it many times in my visions. You hear a lot of people talking about ascendance. You must be open to the realm of the spirit to understand what that means. Ascendance is an elevation in consciousness and authority that is a direct product of understanding. So for every time you understand light, if it is light indeed, there is a measure of ascendance in the spirit. Are we together now? And the goal is that your ascendance in experience parallels that which the Bible says has happened to you in prophecy. That you begin to be elevated line upon line. A measure of ascendance through worship. A measure of ascendance through the ministry of light. You will get to a point where you will rise beyond certain situations. You will not need prayer on them again. Not because you consciously fought it. Light elevated you. Are we together now? Watch this. You see how a plane lifts from the tarmac. It begins to move. Sometimes you are annoyed, you are impatient, you want the thing, you want to get out of that place. And then it begins to move. And then it begins to run. It gets to a point where if it does not lift, the people there can die. Because that speed is no longer for ground level. That's the physics of flight. The law of aerodynamics. Are we together? The speed exceeds, if it does not move beyond that, the plane will start bouncing. Are we together now? And then it lifts. Now watch this. When it lifts, you notice many times they will tell you that it will be a bit bumpy because there are still obstacles. But once it gets to 35,000 feet, 40,000 feet above sea level, it's even on autopilot. The pilot can go and use the restroom, and then they beep the bell and they tell you the crew are ready to do their services and you can put on your in-flight duties and all of that. They are telling you now that it has attained a point where under normal weather conditions, all of the weather down. I hope you know that if weather is bad, it cannot lift. But if it does lift, whatever is happening on the ground does not matter to it again. Except where it is descending. When it is descending, it now has to consider those factors again. This is what ascendance is. So whilst you are seated in this conference, there are levels like frequencies in the spirit. Light upon light, you are rising. The person you prayed for that was not healed yesterday, after the conference, you go back and try it, and you will see that as soon as you entered the house, you didn't even say a word. You entered in a name. You entered with a consciousness. Hallelujah. Please sit down. This is a course. Let's see what we can do, and then we'll continue tomorrow. Now, there are three gifts, Reverend Sam, that God gave man at salvation. Please, everybody write. There are three gifts. When you encounter the Son of the Living God, take it lower for me. I just feel led to sing that David Samson. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. This is kingdom come. Miracles, signs, and wonders. This is kingdom come. Okay. As we cast out demons. This is kingdom come. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. This is kingdom come. Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Hallelujah.
Listen, most people don't know that this business of salvation and eternal life was something God actually planned. Do you know what it means to see that as men, when we plan projects, it works exceptionally? How much more a plan that God sat down, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they actually planned this transmutation, the whole process that gets this life from God to man. How will it fail? This is God's project. Your salvation is not a governor's project. It's not a president's project. It's not a UN project. It's not an African Development Bank project. It is not an ambassador's project. It is God's project.
Wake up, believer. You are better than this. Wake up, believer. You are stronger than this. You did not receive a weak life. Lack of understanding may have kept you weak, but I'm waking you up. The Bible says, awake thou that sleepest. Man of God, you are not that weak. Intercessor, your prayer is not that weak and powerless. No! Rise to a consciousness that you have been elevated by the power of God. Elevated. Lay your hands on your head. Say, elevated. Shout it, say, elevated. By wisdom. Elevated. By knowledge. Elevated. By understanding. Now please sit down. Let's hurry up. There are three gifts that God gave man at salvation. I need to teach you this. Number one, forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sin. Ephesians 1:7. If you have confessed the Lordship of Jesus, then know this by the authority of the Spirit. Know this by the authority of Scripture. Not by your feeling. Whether you feel like it or not, this is a settled reality based on the integrity of God's word. Are we together? The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Help me. The forgiveness of sins. According, when God forgave you, it was not because you qualified and you earned forgiveness. It was a gift. The Bible says, because of how lavish his grace was. Knowing that the greatest of your works, whatever you do, cannot earn you salvation. Are we together? Now, he gave you the forgiveness of sins. Everybody say, I've been forgiven. One more time, say, you have been forgiven. To forgive means to grant pardon. You have been forgiven. Number two, the second gift God gave every man is called the gift of righteousness. Romans 5:17, the gift of righteousness. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive, say I receive, they which receive abundance of grace. The Greek expression there is not and of the gift of righteousness. It's actually which is the abundance of grace, or translated to the gift of righteousness. The Bible says with the consciousness that you are the righteousness of God, you will reign in life. Something happens to you if you do not know that you have the nature of righteousness.
2 Corinthians 5:21. E.W. Kenyon would define righteousness as the ability to stand in the Father's presence without a sense of guilt, inferiority, or condemnation. In other words, I am not second class. I do not deserve it, but by the blood, I have been upgraded to stand before the Father, not with a type of the righteousness, the very righteousness of Jesus. The Bible says, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made, not that we might earn, we might be made the righteousness of God in him, the nature of Christ. Then the third gift God gave us is the life of God. Listen to me. You cannot have eternal life until you are the righteousness of God. Only the possessor of righteousness equal to that of God can have God's life. And since no man can earn righteousness to that level, God gave us his righteousness. And no man can be declared righteous until you are forgiven. Are you seeing that now? So we receive forgiveness of sin. It leads to our receiving the gift of righteousness. It leads to our receiving the life of God. The way. Say, I'm forgiven. Say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Say, I have the life of God. Hallelujah. The life beyond mere existence. The life beyond being alive. A summation of every component that upgrades man to the God class. Everything that upgrades man. Fellowship, wisdom, intelligence, abundance, prosperity, power, health, vitality, longevity. Everything contained in God that can be transmuted in man to upgrade man to function in the God class is called life. Three implications of having Zoe. Please pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Three implications. Tomorrow I'm going to be teaching you the administration of eternal life. How eternal life is made manifest in experience. That a man can be a possessor of that life and yet be alienated from the potential of that life. Hallelujah. Please pray in the spirit for 1 minute.
By wisdom, O God, heaven's gates open up. With understanding you order.
Are you praying in the spirit?
Creating day and night, turning darkness into light, arranging the stars. Baraku er Adonai Amelola Leolam Pae. Baraku er Adonai Amelola Leolam Pae.
Hear me. Let me teach you a secret. The difference between you and anyone you see in this kingdom that you admire is the level and the depth of encounter with light that has translated into a certain kind of consciousness. That consciousness has programmed a stronghold. It's no longer a mindset. It has become a stronghold. A stronghold is not a demonic word. A stronghold just means a mindset that has been fortified by the presence of a spirit. If it's an evil spirit, it becomes dangerous. That the Holy Spirit has created a defense around that thinking such that you cannot think otherwise. And your life becomes a display, a summation of your consciousness. There is a way I cannot think again. Honestly, it's not pride. I cannot think again. I enter nations as if they owe me. It's a mindset. Truly. Many of you have heard me say, if God says he's going to bless peace, 10 people, I begin to intercede for the remaining 9. One position is taken. I am aware of that level of jealousy invested. The Bible says I am his investment. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. If I am his treasure, even though... Hallelujah. Now, if you didn't understand anything I said from the beginning of my session till now, please understand this one. Because this one, you can go and experiment it this night. Some of you, what I'm about to tell you now, by the time we share the grace, you will not even use a vehicle. You will run on barefoot and say, Satan, where are you? Where are you? I need to find, and I mean what I'm saying. Where are you? My God. So this is my heritage in Christ. Please sit down. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe upon my life. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe, Lord, breathe. Breathe upon my life. I receive, I manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, exalted. I receive and manifest your power and your wisdom till the nations see Jesus lifted up, glorified. Please sit down. I can tell you without prophesying, I know what Satan's project is in your life. It's a project to stop you from understanding what I am going to show you now. More than the project of attacking your finances, more than the project of plaguing your body, Satan has priorities. He's not doing everything. He has goals, but he has stratified them. There are other goals he can give up for others. This is a more superior goal for him. He will rather plague you with this than plague you with sickness. The major assignment of the God of this world is not to attack, it's to blind. To blind. To blind. To cast a spell upon your understanding so that you are void of comprehension. Any believer that gets to that stage has become a slave to spiritual operations. Whether it's prayer, whether it's deliverance, whether it's whatever it is. They are the kinds of people that give pastors headache. You will pray and pray and deliver and cast out, and they will fast and pray and things will not change. Because principally, that spell, they have been bewitched. You see, a spell has been casted over that individual. They are the kinds that make the word of God of non-effect. So sometimes you will be frustrated thinking, am I doing the wrong thing? It's because there is a spell. So even if you pray, Satan will gladly go out and wait for them at the corridor of their ignorance, only to jump in with strength. Because when spirits leave, they don't leave. The Bible tells us that the demonic cater is a stubborn cater. They will say, I will go back to my house. My household. And he finds it clean, swept, but empty. And he will gather other spirits and return back. Please pay attention. Please, please pay attention. 3 implications of having the way. Now what becomes of me? Now that I'm a possessor of this life. A life indestructible. Number one. The first implication of being a possessor of the way. Listen to me. Is that I have become one with Christ. The consciousness of our oneness. The consciousness of our oneness. In theology, we call it the doctrine of interpenetration. It is the mystery by which two entities become one. That is the same mystery used in marriage. That a man from another place, another foundation, comes to a woman, another place, another foundation, and both of them, when they are declared by the power of priesthood as husband and wife, they are no longer twain, but one. The Bible says this is a deep mystery, but I speak of Christ and the church. Are we learning now? Oneness with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's hurry up. Ephesians chapter 2. Someone has a pain at the right side of your stomach. I'm seeing it just where there's a severe pain at the right side of your stomach. I'm stretching my hands now, I declare. You see, when we speak, this is the realm we speak from. When you speak as a man, you will waste the time of God's people. Because you will only stimulate expectations. You will be like the tree with green leaves but no fruit. When your pastor speaks and makes declarations, the reason why it happens is not because of what he's saying. It's the height in the spirit from which he's speaking from. Our possibilities is not just because of what we say. It's the realm. It's that I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God. This is what makes my word powerful. Not just what I'm saying. The fact that I descended from the presence. Zechariah, will I come from his presence and bring you a lie? It's an indictment on God. I just came from his presence, bringing you a message and you are doubting, your mouth will be shut until you agree with what came from the presence. Hallelujah. To such a one, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that pain, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Listen, there are two ways. Oh dear, let me leave this. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow. Please don't miss tomorrow. I want to teach you something, hopefully if we have time. It's called the law of liberty. I want to show you how people become unquestionably free. There are two principal ways, teaser, to be free. Number one, by the agency of a matured believer in the name of Jesus, separating you from that spirit influence. But the higher and nobler way of freedom is that you ascend beyond the reach of that spirit. Because you see, how do I explain this? Hold on. Spirits have boundaries to their ascendance based on their rankings. There are certain spirits that cannot rise beyond certain jurisdictions. Are we together now? So, the believers that are unbelievers that are lower than that altitude in the spirit become the victims of the operations of those spirits. But light elevates you in the spirit. So you will gain ascendance beyond the reach of certain spirits. That's why the Bible says far above principalities. There are layers. So it's not something that you jump. The revelation, the finished revelation is done already. But the experience of it is a gradual ascendance as far as light is concerned. Are you getting it now? It is the reason why when you pay attention to the word of God, you will turn back and find out that certain oppressions no longer can hold. Not necessarily because they prayed for you. You rose to a level where those cater of spirits cannot find you again. I used to be oppressed. You've heard my story. I used to be oppressed by demon spirits like it happens to many of us. And I prayed, I fasted, I did whatever I knew to do. And I would lie down, they would press me. Sometimes I would see these spirits come. And I remember one day it was light. The revelation of that exalted position, my oneness with Christ, it entered me finally. And when it entered me, I didn't pray. I ran to my place and I said, Satan, you can come. From that day till tomorrow, I can't be that far. Why has he not arrived? Light. Light elevates. Light elevates. Light, are we following now? The believer who does not grow is the one who deliverance will not profit. Even if you pray for that person, pray for that person. Now, I will tell you why, in spite of this light, we still minister deliverance to people. The reason is because, one, believers are at several layers of light. Are we together? Like the hospital, there's accident and emergency ward. Am I right? There's the word for children because it caters for... There are people who go to the hospital not because they are sick. They just want to check themselves. There are others who go there because they are dying. There are others who are there because they are dead. All hospital. The church is like a hospital. There are people who come and they are in a spiritual ICU. There's no time to start teaching anything. The devil will wreck them. They are hours away from death. At that point, we exercise authority. We administer liberty. When they are free, then we keep them down and teach them sound doctrine. The doctrine now elevates them. It's called deliverance through transformation. Please sit down.
See the army of the Lord marching in the name of Jehovah. Jehovah. Where the army of the Lord marching in the name of Jehovah. Jehovah.
Everybody say, I'm one with Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Please let's hurry up. Please let's hurry up. And you have he quickened will stay here tomorrow by the grace of God. That statement. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3. It says, who had your conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even of others. Verse 4. Hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us. Shout verse 5 with me if you are a believer. 1, 2, go. Even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us. Hold on, shout together. One more time, say together. Together with 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Together with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:17. Read with me, please. 1, 2, go. But he that is joined with the Lord, even if his name is Joshua Selman, he is one spirit. Everybody say one spirit. The consciousness of your oneness is very powerful. Last scripture, Romans 8:17. The theology of life. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The key word is together. Everybody say with Christ. Together. Say it again, with Christ. When you carry the consciousness of your oneness, you know what that means? Here's how I put it. Joshua Selman alone will fail. Not can fail. Will fail. If you see Joshua Selman alone, you are seeing a failure about to happen. But me and God as a team cannot fail. He is the part of the equation that insists that I be successful. Business with Christ. Ministry with Christ. The consciousness of your oneness. Are we together now? If I'm praying for the sick, if I come by the excellency of speech, I will only waste time with Christ. I go to the nations with that mindset. I'm in the plane with Christ. Arriving a nation with Christ. Preaching with Christ. If you hear my words alone, you will just hear English. But behind my speakings, there is the life-giving ministry of the Christ that penetrates beyond your ears and your understanding and plants conviction within your spirit. You've done business alone and failed. Try doing it with the consciousness that I'm with Christ. You laid your hands on yourself, by yourself, on your own. But do it with Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. If you stop there, you are wasting your time. But with Christ, by you I can run to a troop. And by my God, I can leap over a wall. Who is learning now? So everything you see before you, listen, when God gives you a vision, he will always give you a vision that your humanity cannot achieve. The reason is because he never expected you to go alone. The Bible says the Lord and his spirit has sent me. Don't complain about the big projects that are before you. You were not supposed to go alone. When I sent thee, lackest thou anything? It says, and the Lord walking with them, Reverend Sam, we, confirming the word with signs following. Do ministry with Christ and watch the wonder working power. Minister to people with Christ. Do business with Christ. The consciousness. Everybody say oneness. Number two, the second implication of possessing this Zoe life, are we ready now? Is called our positional advantage. Positional advantage. Ephesians 2:6. So the consciousness of your oneness in Christ, we have become one with Christ. It is adumbrated in a mystery in the Old Testament called the Salt Covenant, where if two people are to enter a relationship, are we together now? And they want to define that how strong that relationship is. Two of them come with salt containers, and then it is poured into one jar and mixed. The condition for that relationship to break is if everybody can pick their portion of salt. I'm one with Christ. I look ordinary. But when you see the results, you know. You know where my own stops. That continuation you see is Christ that works in me. Are we together now? Where every time you see the extraordinary results that happens in the life of your pastor, remember my message. It is not Reverend Sam alone. It is not Dr. Reverend Sam alone. It is not intelligent Reverend Sam alone. As wonderful as that is, it is Reverend Sam together with Christ manifesting those possibilities. Are we together? Man of God, God has shown you the nations. If you calculate it, you will be discouraged and become the cause of your own destiny. Take away your frail nature. This is my mentality. I can fail alone, but me and Jesus cannot fail. Me and the Spirit of God cannot fail. Are we together? We are a team, indomitable. Indomitable. Number two, your positional advantage. 2 and verse 6, Ephesians. And had raised us up. And had raised us up. And had raised us up and made us to sit, not stand, to sit. Every time a king sat, it was because war was ended. Victory had been declared. The Bible says he made us to sit together in heavenly places. It's not just a place, it's a realm of reality. Heavenly places. Heavenly places is not above. Above is just a name to help you understand. It's a realm in the spirit. Made us to sit together. I may be on the ground here, but there is an altitude from which I function from. And I only command the possibilities that come from higher. I sense the power of God. This revelation is entering into the spirit of someone. You are finally getting it. That I'm not an ordinary person. This is not bragging. This is not Pentecostal gibberish. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be ordinary, but not when you become born again. Something has happened to you. You are one with Christ and you have been raised up. Someone shout, raised up. One more time, raised up. Made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 1, 21 to 23. 21 to 23. We're wrapping up. Far above. I'm connecting two scriptures now. We have been raised up, but you need to know how far. Next time you say how far, you don't mean where have you been. When you say how far, this is what you mean. How high have I been lifted in the spirit? Not just where have you been since morning. If someone tells you how far, he's speaking as a Nigerian, permit him. But when we come to Zion, how far means define for me how elevated you are in the spirit. Far above principality and power and might and dominion and every office that is made, not only in this world but also in the world that is to come. Next verse, please. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Far above principalities. Hold on. Before you fear any spirit, verify its position. Next time a spirit tries to oppress you, ask him, before we discuss, define for me your ranking in the heavenly cadres, so that I don't insult my intelligence, wasting my time having any discussion with you. Define for me your position. Define for me your position. Define for me your position, sir. In the name of Jesus. Define for me your position. That you are always coming in, oppress my child. Define for me your position. Are we together now? The last implication. Access to his name. Access to his name. The last implication of having the way is that we have access to his name. John 16, 23 to 24. The word name there is not just a means of, we together now. He told Abraham, I will make your name great. It was not just Abraham that was great. His name was also great. John chapter 16, please. And in that day, Which day? The day that all is done, the work is finished, and access is given to you to receive that life. It says, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will do what? Hitherto you have asked for nothing. He says, ask in my name that you may receive. So when I say be healed in the name of Jesus, I expect a receiving. If I say doors open in the name of Jesus, you see, the name of Jesus is not a recitation, J-E-S-U-S. That was not even what they called him. There are footballers carrying that name. The name does not have power. I hope that's not the one you are calling. Are we together now? When we talk about the name of Jesus, we are talking of the consciousness of the office of the Christ. The consciousness of the office of the Christ. The reason why we pronounce Jesus is because we want both ourselves and the nations to know that the Lord and the Christ we call is the one who was called on earth, Jesus. Are we together now? It's the reason why sometimes you can tell a spirit, go, and he says, go. You sent him in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone. The consciousness of it is more than the recitation of the name. You can recite the name like a charm, like a genie, and it will not work. We have been given access to his name. The name. The name. Colossians 3:17. Please rise up on your feet. The name. Colossians 3:17. Please give it to us, media. 3:17 Colossians. Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, who is following? It says, do all. If it must work in this kingdom, the code that the realm of the spirit understands is that you must come in the name. In the name means with the consciousness. Are we together now? That I have been deputized by this one who sits upon the throne. I have been deputized to act and legislate on his head, giving thanks to God the Father by him. Please listen. All of these things I have told you from the beginning of my discussion, the theology of life will be tested. Look up, please. In spite of all these beautiful expressions and our rejoicing, there are people here right now who are sick. There are people right now who are weak. There are people right now who are troubled. And for some, while others were jumping and rejoicing, you just start quietly saying, is this thing true? If this thing is true, why has my life not changed? Listen carefully. I have fasted. I have prayed. I have read books. I don't doubt what you are saying, Apostle. But honestly, I'm not sure it has become spirit and life to me yet. You have no idea the kinds of challenges that have overwhelmed me. Let me tell you how the kingdom functions. Realities are first finished in Christ. We call them prophetic realities. These are realities that are finished from God's perspective. Are we together? But the fact that those realities are finished does not mean they are manifest yet. Finished realities and manifested realities are two different realities. The prayer is that it be done in earth as it is in the heavens. It's finished already in the heavens. That's the concept of grace. A compendium of everything that is finished in Christ, available to the saints from God through Christ. Are we together now? But the dynamics of making that life manifest is where many believers do not understand. So you find out that in spite of all this gist I have given you, most people will just leave home and say, Kai, I enjoyed the thing. What of you? So me too. Let's go back to our reality. You see, it is for such I want to tell you this. The journey of sustaining eternal life, the life of God, and seeing to it that it is made manifest, starts by holding fast your profession of faith. I have to give you this before we wrap up. Hebrews 10:23. Every reality that you see in the Bible is only finished as a reality in the realm of the Spirit. When you receive Christ, watch this now, it is not your entire tripartite being that receives that experience. It is a spirit-to-spirit affair. Are we together now? Your solical realm is still in the realm of the confusion and the ignorance, and your body is still affected by the impulses of the old man and the old life. The starting point, and this is where I would stop tonight and we'll pick it from there tomorrow. The starting point of your excelling as far as administering this eternal life, are we together now, is from your profession. The Bible says, let us hold fast. Look at this. Don't forget this. The profession of our faith without wavering. Why did he mention the word wavering? Because until it manifests, it looks impossible. And when Satan comes, he tests you against your senses. He tells you, if it is true, you are crucified with Christ. How come you had a Bible in your bag when you went to the hospital and they diagnosed you of cancer? How come you are a believer in Christ and you don't yet have a job in Abuja? Keep that scripture. Let me show you your response now. So that you don't waste everything that has happened these 9 days. You hold fast. What is your profession? You hold fast with the consciousness, keep it there please, that he is what? Faithful. That means God is not scamming you. You may not see it yet. The Bible says, while we look not at the things that are seen. Ministry has not blossomed yet. And then you are holding fast your profession. In the name of Jesus Christ, greatness and excellence is my portion. For it is written, I will increase your greatness and comfort you on every side. The pain may be there, but you are making that declaration. The Bible says, let the weak say. Let the weak say. He already acknowledged that at present they are weak. Are we together now? You've not built the house. The rent is nowhere to be found. Don't just say, the day the money comes, I will say, thank God. You are wasting the potential of that life. So let the redeemed of the Lord, the healed of the Lord, the lifted of the Lord, the anointed of the Lord, the ones who desire a great tomorrow. You are not yet in February, but your words can enter. And arrange, they can line up like ushers and bring you into a great February. Who is learning now? Listen. If you don't believe this thing I just told you, there is no man of God that will be able to help you sustainably. I assure you. Carry this mentality. Say so. If you are not saved, an opportunity will be given. But if you are saved, whether you feel like it or not, let me tell you this. When you get saved and you find out that the impulses and the lust of the flesh still draw you, it is not because that salvation experience were a lie. It is that you have yet to receive the end of your faith. There is a culmination. The reality of what has come to your spirit has not yet been poured into your consciousness. Are we together? Empowerment is a product of consciousness. And it takes a while. There is a time component to the establishing of truth. The Bible calls it the renewing of the mind. What does it mean to renew the mind? To replace the thinkings, the thought processes. Not everything in your mind is bad. If your mind is deleted, you will not be able to walk, talk, and do all of that. Not every information there is useless. So the Holy Spirit, in partnership with your loyalty and obedience and spiritual seriousness, that will determine the pace with which that journey. So if you are careless, 1 week in church, 10 weeks somewhere, you see, your lifetime will not even be enough for your transformation. Talk more of your experience in liberty. Because the first law of liberty is acknowledging that which is finished. That is the first law of liberty. Not the manifestation of it. You must first acknowledge. Acknowledge, Philemon 1:6, that the acknowledging of your faith might become effectual. It says, give it to us, Philemon 1 and verse 6. We are going to pray. That the communication of your faith might become effectual through the acknowledging of everything that is in you in Christ. What is in you? His life. So you declare, I have the life of God. You are saying it in one room. Foolish people are laughing at you. Ignore them. Call them witnesses, not critics. They are witnesses because they will verify that you went through the process tomorrow. Are we together now? and you begin to declare, you wake up in the morning, this is the day the Lord has made. He encompasses me with favor as with a shield. What you are doing is you are holding fast. Listen, faith comes by hearing, even if you are the one doing the speaking. The hearing does not have to come from a third party. When you declare the word, you are building your faith. There are three qualities that are responsible for releasing eternal life. You are tempting me into tomorrow's teaching. One is the wisdom of God, communicating the word of God. Number two is the law of faith. Are we together now? The law of faith is what causes the word to become flesh and dwell among us. Then we behold. If there is a problem with manifestation, we need to check the arrival of wisdom, then the arrival of faith. Hold hands with somebody. We have to close.
Where would I be if you left me now? Where would I be if you left me? Where would I be if you left me?
We're about to pray. I want you to imagine someone who is standing at the tallest building and you are looking at life like insects moving around. This is how you have been elevated. And don't allow the devil to make you think this is just a preacher's gibberish. It will only happen if you hold on to your profession of faith. Listen. If you ask Reverend Sam to come here and testify as to how God built what is built through him, he will tell you. Any man who told you that it was possible what God told them had a familiar spirit. When God speaks to you, listen, God speaks to men like he's speaking to himself because he's right. It's not every part of you God is speaking to. He's not speaking to unbelief. He's speaking to his nature within you. So God will tell you, take the nations. And then the part he did not speak to is now wanting to reply. You ignore that part and say he's not talking to you. He's talking to himself within me. Come on now. Oh, he's not talking to you. Unbelief, don't participate in our conversation. Doubt, don't participate in our conversation. Fear, don't participate in our conversation. He's not talking to you. When God says, I am the head, fear, don't join that conversation. Is speaking to his nature within me.
I have to wrap up. Let's pray.
This life that I have is the life of Christ in me. This life that I have,
this life
that I have,
celebrate
the way. This life
in 1 minute and begin to declare, holding fast your profession of faith. I am the head and not the tail. In the name of Jesus, I have the Spirit of God at work in my life. The intelligence of the Spirit is at work on my inside. The wisdom of God is at work. I know what to do. Led by the Spirit, I am the Son of God. Led by the Spirit, Christ has been made unto me wisdom. I have His wisdom. The faith of the Son of God is at work in my spirit. In the name of Jesus, go ahead and declare. Let the saved of the Lord say so. Far above, exalted, far above, glorified, far above, translated above, anointed, beyond measure. Go ahead and pray. Invest in the manifestation of this Zoe line. I've been made unto my God a king and a priest, and where the word of this king is, there is power. Therefore I declare my tomorrow blessed, February blessed, March blessed, April blessed, May blessed, June blessed, July blessed, August, September, October. Come on, speak over your ministry. No failing, no going down. From glory to glory, speak over your finances. Wisdom, favor, help us arising from everywhere. Hold fast your profession. Hold fast without wavering. Hold fast regardless what you see. I walk in health by the power of the Holy Ghost. I walk in health. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Cancer cannot grow in this body. This body. I cause sickness, no old head, because it dwells in Christ and Christ is in me. I am never scarce of wisdom. The strategy of the Spirit is at work in my life. Help us arise by the Spirit of God. Extraordinary life. Extraordinary life. Extraordinary ministry. One more minute. Declare of life. There shall be no loss. 2025. There shall be no loss. Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. No more speaking carelessly. You are royalty. The word of a king has power. 8:20. Everyone, please shout it as loud as you can. One, two, go. There is a way light carriers speak. Remember, that light became the light of man. So those who carry that light, it must translate. There is a relationship between light and life. Light and life. Every time I speak light, I am speaking life. Every time I say it is well, I am establishing it is. What you speak makes room for its establishment. So it says, say unto the righteous. If you want it to be well, you say it is well. If you want to be lifted, you say it is. Saying is not the only thing, but it's the number one law of conversion. It's the number one law. When you acknowledge what God has done, you verbalize it. Lift your hands. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I stand in faith with Reverend Sam, the angel over this house, and we decree and declare over all who are here gathered, the overflows outside, and the many who are watching online, that in the name of Jesus Christ, the reality of this spirit life, the reality of your being born again, the reality of this faith life may begin to find visible experience in your life, visible manifestation in your life, in the name of Jesus. No longer will it be a parable that you are saved. No longer will it be a parable. No longer will it be a thing of question and doubt that you are saved. The reality of eternal life will begin to speak evidently from tonight. Therefore, I curse sickness right now. Therefore, I curse limitation right now. Therefore, I open up doors for you, that by tomorrow you return with testimonies of the mighty hand of God, testimonies of the workings of the Spirit, testimonies of liberty, testimonies of open doors, testimonies of restoration, because you are allowing that life like a river to find expression. I call you blessed in Jesus' name. I call you lifted in Jesus' name. Go from glory to glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Wave your hands and give Jesus praise.